May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let's read that verse real quickly again. This is after Jesus has been presented at the temple. So he's very young, infant. And the child continued to grow and become strong, increasing in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now again, this is Jesus, the man, the boy, the human, and the statement that the grace of God was upon him. And the language there, the grammar is that there was just the grace of God just was on him, like permanently. And the question is, how much grace was on Jesus? I mean, was there part grace on Jesus, or did Jesus carry from the beginning the fullness of grace on his life? And I think that's the obvious answer. The grace of God, not part of the grace of God, but all the grace of God was upon him. But later in chapter 2, in verse 52, this is after Jesus being in the temple when he was 12. It says in verse 52, and Jesus kept increasing or kept growing in wisdom and stature and growing in grace with God and men. Wow. The grace of God in fullness was on Christ, and yet it says he grew in grace with God. Not just with men, but he grew in grace with God. If Jesus can grow in grace, how much more do we need to grow in grace? And even though in your new birth, the grace of God, all the grace of God was upon you, we never stop growing in grace. Jesus grew in grace, which is a fascinating thing to think about. And the word there, increasing or grow, it really comes from two words that I think are significant. It means to cut forward. The idea is that you're like if you're cutting, if you had a machete and you're trying to cut through like deep forest or a path, it's very intentional. It's not passive. It doesn't just happen. He was very intentional. It required participation, effort on his part. Grace of God's free. It's ours. And it's on us. That's God's part. But we cut forward. We have something to do with growing in grace. Now, one of the words you can use, I mean, I know there's a grace, you just kind of gradually grow in grace, but one of the words that we use that describes growing in grace is breakthrough. And we've been praying for breakthrough a lot. Many of us, many of you, have experienced some amazing breakthrough. I'm really grateful for that, because Lent was going to either result in me breaking up or breaking through in some places. I'm so glad it resulted in breakthrough. But it was not really sure there for a while. But when you break through, we've said this before, Jesus didn't get more grace. His growing in grace, his breaking through in grace didn't give him more grace. He just entered into more of what was on him. You don't get more. You've been made complete in Christ. He's broken through, as we've said before. We're not waiting for him to show up. He's shown up. He's waiting for us to show up. And the more we show up, the more we break through. The more we cut forward, the more we enter in. He said, I've gone to prepare a place for you. That place is full. But we, as he prepares us for those places, and we break through, and it's a never-ending process of breaking through. But the immediate stories right after this is a couple of examples of Jesus breaking through, growing in grace. One is when he's baptized, his baptism in the Spirit. Now, was the Spirit of God on Jesus from the beginning? Was all grace on him? For sure. But his baptism in the Spirit released some things in his life that he had not walked in before. And in his baptism, the Holy Spirit came on him and remained on him, And the Father spoke and said, "Behold my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." And that's something that Jesus carried with him. That's a breakthrough. Wouldn't you consider that an encounter? If you had an encounter with God, and in the encounter the Lord spoke into your life, the Holy Spirit came on you in a new way that was permanent, and he spoke into your life, "You're beloved. Nothing you can do to stop being my beloved. You can't make yourself more beloved. You don't move towards beloved. You move from beloved. You're there." Before Jesus had done one thing in ministry, he said, "You're beloved, and I'm well pleased with you." That's a breakthrough. But what happened after his breakthrough? He goes through the worst testing until the cross that he went through in his entire life. He went 40 days in the wilderness being tested every day by the enemy. That came after his breakthrough. One of the things about breakthrough is this: as we grow in grace, when you grow in grace and you break through, you better be prepared to steward the breakthrough, because it's going to get tested. It's going to happen, and could be a severe test. Jesus gave you a promise. Put it on your refrigerator. Get a little magnet. Stick it up there right under the hope, "I confess this and this blessing. In this world, you will have testing." But Jesus, and I mentioned this yesterday, but Jesus said, "In me, you'll have peace." In this world, you're going to have testing, but be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. And as I said yesterday, Jesus didn't just overcome in the world, he overcame the world. And breakthroughs are always so that we grow as overcomers in the world, but also that there's a release that we can overcome the world, that we make a difference, that we can continue the process of colonizing the world for the kingdom of God at an accelerated level. So what was the testing all about? Why did God let that happen? In the Luke passage, if you remember, at the end of the Luke passage, it says, "And the devil left him until an opportune time. And then Jesus went forward in the power of the Holy Spirit." He had breakthrough in his baptism. He was immediately thrust into the wilderness, and his breakthrough was tested. But because he stewarded well his breakthrough in the testing, he broke through again. And he didn't move in the power of the Holy Spirit just because he got baptized in the Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit was really released after he went through the testing. And the opportune time wasn't just that it was because he was weak and vulnerable. It was God. That devil may do that. The devil may come at you and, when you're vulnerable, he was fasting and attack you, but the enemy, the Lord knows, it's also an opportune time for breakthrough. So I was telling the clergy up in the Carolinas, I said, if you're going through severe testing, that's just evidence that you're on the precipice of a breakthrough, a significant one, where who you are as overcomer is going to increase in your experience. You're not going to get more grace, but you're going to move into the more grace that you already have. The testing's all about whether are you going to steward the breakthrough you've already experienced in the last season. And if you're steward well the breakthrough you just went through, and the testing is severe, what's on the other side of that is an opportune time in the Lord for greater breakthrough. And so just... Israel knew God's acts, but Moses knew God's ways. And so I'd rather know God's ways, because when you know God's ways, the acts come with it too. And in the school of Christ, your life is going to be about a series of breakthroughs. You're going to grow in grace. Jesus did. But understand that a lot of times in between the breakthroughs are going to be a severe testing, but it's so that you can break through. It said about Jesus, he was led into the wilderness to be tempted, but also said he was led about in the wilderness by the Spirit. Jesus learned, because he grew in grace, you see, as the Son of Man, he learned how to steward the Holy Spirit and be led by the Spirit at a level in the testing he had never learned before, so that the breakthrough happened. The Father could thrust him forward in the new breakthrough. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.